All right. Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for coming out this morning to talk about automated testing of Windows and Windows Phone apps. My name is Vinay Krishna. I'm a program manager with the Visual Studio team at Microsoft. My team works on the testing capabilities and features that ships out of Visual Studio. So by way of the title, I am assuming many of you are app developers. How many of you already have apps in store today? The Windows Phone apps? Windows Store apps? Good. So all of us do some form of manual testing before publishing it out to the store at least, right? But how many of us actually do automated testing? Anybody who does unit tests, UI tests on any part of the application? Wow, some people already do. Wonderful. Right? So I'm hoping by the end of this session, all of you start thinking about quality of your app much upstream in your development workflows and use some of our tool set that we'll talk about over the next hour or so to improve the quality of your app, right? So many of you have already seen, given that you're app developers, you already know the Visual Studio development experience for apps, right? It has a great experience, debugging tools, the XAML designer tools, all that is great, right? And once you've spent sufficient amount of time in this new paradigm, you'll also realize that this new way of development, at least in terms of tooling, is not very different from the old experience. And that is true for testing tools as well. So most of the testing experiences that we'll talk today is mostly a continuation of experience of what we already have for classic applications, so to speak, in our Visual Studio, right? So I also wanted to spend some time to talk about what are all the things we have done in this testing space for modern applications so far, right? Back in Visual Studio 2012, we added the capability to unit test your Windows Store applications. We also allowed you to do more formal manual testing or exploratory testing or agile testing using the Microsoft Test Manager client, and in two releases later, right, Visual Studio 2012 update 2, we allowed you to do the same sort of unit testing on Windows Phone 8.0 apps, right? So unit testing is usually the first type of automation activity that you should think about. Later in Visual Studio 2013, we also added the capability to write end-to-end UI tests for your Windows Store applications using the Visual Studio coded UI test framework that ships out of Visual Studio, right? And in Visual Studio 2013 update 2, we have essentially done two things. We have added the capability to write end-to-end UI tests for your Windows Phone 8.1 apps using the same coded UI test framework. And we have also updated the unit test to support the new Windows Phone 8.1 model, right? And so that is mostly what we'll be talking about today. In the first part, I'll talk about the unit testing, and in the second, later half of the talk, I'll be focusing mostly on the UI testing or the coded UI test framework, right? And we'll also have some time towards the end to address any of the questions you might have. So with update 2, given that Windows Phone 8.1 is what's new, most of my demos is going to be on writing automation for Windows Phone 8.1, but whatever I show in terms of features and capabilities and tooling exists for Windows Store, maybe with a slightly different experience, right? So please feel free to interrupt me if you do have any questions. I have very less slides. I'm mostly going to show demos. Before I go any further, I also wanted to talk about, take you through a tour of the application that we'll be using for writing our automation, right? So there's a very simple application called as a Money Tracker application. I wrote up this application just so that we can demo some of the features that we have built in the tooling, right? So it's a simple application. Let me switch over. Okay, so I'm here in the phone emulator. The monstrous dollar icon is the app that I've written. It's a simple application to keep tab of how I'm earning money, what I'm spending it on, so on and so forth, right? So when I go to the landing page, you'll see a nice summary of all the transactions aggregated in a monthly manner. So this is really the summary page, which will show a month by month summary. And also notice that the way the sorting order here is the latest month first and so on. We'll actually write a bit of tests around that. And when I tap on any of the things, I'll go to a more detailed view of that particular month. So for example, I get to see, hey, what is the total income expenses balance in that month? What are all the list of income, list of transactions have done? At any point of time, I can click on the new button here to go and add a new transaction. So here I would fill out things like what is the date. So there's a date picker control for me to choose from. I'll also fill out amount, whether I actually spend the money or earn the money. And depending on this, I'll also populate some categories for you to choose from. And eventually a description to describe the transaction you have. And finally, when you save the transaction, you'll go back to the page where you came from. And you can also do a tap and hold on any of these items to update or delete a transaction. When I actually want to do a delete transaction, it will show me a nice alert telling me, hey, do you actually want to delete this, right? So that's about the UI of the app. Let me go back to my Visual Studio and show you how the code itself is organized. So notice here that I've used the model view, view model design pattern for organizing my app code. Any of you is not familiar with MVVM? Anybody who has worked with it before? Awesome. Right, so for those of you who don't know, MVVM is a very powerful design pattern which will allow you to separate out the concerns of view, the underlying data, view state, and behavior, right? So for example, here in my app, all the classes necessary for me to play around with the data, right? For example, how do I store categories? How do I store transactions? What is my data access layer? All that logic and other classes necessary for that goes into the model folder. The view model is what stitches the models and the views, which is a XAML eventually. The view model is where you would write out all your logic for filtering the data, sorting it out, and doing any sort of transformation. All that mostly happens in the view model part of the application or view model part of the pattern, right? So I have seen a large number of teams who have used this model view, view model pattern, or any similar pattern like that to complete very large scale projects with very, very small number of bugs, right? And the number one reason why they are successful is that in such patterns bring about maintainability of your code, right? So what I mean is that when you actually separate out your concerns like this, you have unlocked your entire app code for unit testing. You can point to any of the view model and start writing unit tests against each of the valid states of the model, each of the valid states of the view model, and each of the valid behavior and invalid behavior of the view model, right? So your coverage, your test coverage increases rapidly, and you'll also get to more confidence with respect to, hey, I'm making a code change. Am I causing any regression? Am I adding a new feature? Am I breaking any stuff, right? So with such large number of tests, testing every possible valid state and behavior of your view models and models, you'll have very high confidence about the kind of code that you write and the quality that you bring in, right? So that's about the MVVM pattern. Let me switch back to slides. So one other notable aspect of this app is that it supports accessibility. Accessibility is useful in two ways. One, of course, whenever you're shipping an app to a global store, you want to address a wide variety of audience. You want to make sure people with those special needs are able to use your apps and have the same experience as everyone else, right? And the second part is the accessibility that you set on top of your XAML elements is also used to drive some of the UI automation, right? So we'll actually look at that in the last part, how you can use some of the blend tools to go and build this accessibility into your XAML. Yeah. So with that, let's get started with the first part of the talk, which is the unit testing part. right? Here's what you'll need to get started. First, you of course need to have a app development environment. What does that mean? You need to have a Windows 8.1 OS or newer. Typically, you would have a 64-bit OS with SLAT enabled machine so that you can run your emulator on a Hyper-V, right? So of course, this is not mandatory, but developing on a device alone is going to be difficult, right? And you'll need the Visual Studio 2013 update to go ahead and write unit tests for this new Windows Phone 8.1 model. We really want you to think about unit testing every time you develop your app. So whenever you create an app, irrespective of the SKU or irrespective of the edition, we want you to think about unit testing. For that reason, Visual Studio unit testing features is there across of all the editions, be it Express, Pro, Premium, or Ultimate, right? So let's get started with unit testing. Let me switch back to my machine. So like most of the things in Visual Studio, the way to get started with unit testing is to create a new project, right? So let me go to the new project wizard. So we allow you to write your tests in C# and C++, right? So under C# in the Windows Phone Apps node, you'll see that there's a unit test app template. So this is the new, this is the template that you would use if you're writing unit test apps for your Windows Phone 8.1, the new Windows Phone model apps, the Apex model of apps, right? So if you're an existing developer, if you've used some of the, if you've already developed some phone apps, the old Silverlight 8.0 way, here's the template for you guys, right? So you'll use the old template to unit test your Windows Phone 8.0 apps. You can actually use the same Silverlight technology to develop apps for the new Windows platform. Whenever you click on this template, will allow you to target Windows Phone 8.0 or Windows Phone 8.1, right? So for now, let me go ahead and choose the Windows Phone 8.1 template. So the first thing that you'll notice is that the unit test project is not very different from a regular project. And also notice that it says unit test app. It's actually a Windows app, right? So what does that mean? It has references to the same .NET framework, the Windows Phone SDK, and everything else, right? So whenever we say we want to run unit tests, we bundle bundle the unit test app, push it onto the target, be it a Windows Phone emulator or a device, run the unit test there, and get back and show you the results in Visual Studio, right? And the reason why we do that is to make sure that the tests you write will run under the same context as the app that would eventually run, right? So if you're writing a Windows Phone app, you would want the test also to be run in the same context of the Windows Phone. You need to have access to the same framework, you need to have access to the same environment. So that's one of the reasons why the unit test itself is a Windows Phone app, right? Okay, and you also see that you have a reference to the MSS framework. How many of you have used the MSS framework before? Anybody has? Okay, MSS, right? So the way to get started here is also, again, very simple, because the MSS framework that we ship here is almost similar to whatever we have shipped for past so many releases. So if you're an existing developer, it's very easy to get started and write unit tests using the MSS framework. You have the same constructs for annotating your tests, calling it out as test class, test method, and everything else. Let me actually do run the app. I'll build the project. So how many of you have used unit testing for anything in Visual Studio? Okay, so you'll know that our Test Explorer is the place where you do all test-related activities in Visual Studio, be it unit test or UI test or wherever. So it provides you a good experience of finding out the list of tests you're interested in, be it searching, filtering, grouping by various dimensions, so on and so forth, right? So the Windows Phone unit test also continues to integrate with the same Test Explorer kind of an experience. So the complete IDE experience, you get to have the complete IDE experience for all the Windows Phone unit test development that you do, right? The same experience for doing your test-driven development. For some reason, this is not getting recognized. So let me go back and switch over to one of the unit test projects that I already have. So here I have the money tracker application that I showed you, and here I have the money tracker.unit test application that I've written up for unit testing that particular application, right? And in references, I see the same things. I've also added reference to the money tracker application itself, right? So once you've added that, you can then go ahead and write out all your tests and execute them in the same context as your app itself. So I wanted to take some time to talk about the MSS framework itself. Given that the MSS framework has been out there for a while, we have received a bunch of feedback on what's good, what's working well, what's not working well, and everything else. We have done a few things differently in the MSS framework that was shipped in Windows Store and Windows Phone. I just quickly wanted to highlight some of the things that we have done differently. Right? So. The first thing is that in the modern world, you want to have fast and fluid user experience. You want to make non-blocking UI calls. And to enable all such things, as a developer, what would you use? You would, of course, use the asynchronous method calls, right? And to test such calls, your test also needs to be asynchronous test methods, right? So MS test allows you to test asynchronous code by writing asynchronous test methods. The way to do that would be to go ahead and let me collapse this. So instead of having a public void signature, you would have a public async task as your signature for writing out your asynchronous tests, right? So the test I'm writing here is to verify that the first page here is sorted in a chronological fashion. I get to see May, then April, and so on, right? So again, this is a view model test. So I'm essentially testing some particular sort condition on the transaction summary view model. So I go ahead and create a transaction summary view model. To create that, I need to create some transaction model and category model and some dependencies. And I unfortunately have a asynchronous call to do that, right? So the way I would work, solve that is I will say await, and I would call that particular method. This is an asynchronous test. I'll go ahead and add two transactions, one in the month of February, another in the month of March. Once I do a calculate summary, do a bunch of filtering, a bunch of data processing, at the end of which it also calls the sort method. And what I want to verify here is I've indeed added two items, and that the expense date of the first item that the calculate summary returns is greater than the expense date of the second, right? So now we understand this test. Let's go ahead and run. You can either right-click here and say run selected test, or you can also use the new code lens test indicators that we have added. You can, everybody familiar with code lens test indicators? Anybody seeing this for the first time? Okay, so CodeLens is sort of a heads-up display for a developer to show him the most relevant information that he cares about at that point of time. So for example, here I'm coding up in the editor. I want to run my tests. I don't want to leave my coding area, go back to Test Explorer, run, and come back to IDE, right? So what we have done is find out a list of things or find out the most interesting things for a developer and added all that as a heads up display, right? It's a view only, it's not stored in your source files. So whatever you're seeing here, it's just a view only. So test indicator is one such thing. I can select this and say, run this particular test. So you'll see that the tests are being run and you get to see the results, the test passed. So it's easy for you to go and run your test without leaving your coding area once again. The next thing I wanted to talk about is how do you test for exceptions in your test code? So the MS test framework, I've had some features for this all throughout. Expected exception attribute. Okay, people have heard about it, good, right? So if you want to make sure that a particular test or particular few lines of code is throwing a particular exception, the way you would do that is go and add an expected exception attribute and write out whatever is your expected exception attribute. That works great, except it has a problem. The problem is that I'll not be able to pinpoint what is the exact line of code that is throwing the exception. If there are 10 lines of code, I can't go back and see which is the line which actually threw the exception. So to that end, we have added a feature called as assert.throwsException. Let me, which will allow you to do this quite easily, right? So here again, I'm writing a test on the transaction summary view model. I'm creating a transaction summary view model, but the engine also expects it to be, expect to have some kind of init calls to that. I am not doing that. I'll directly call one of the operation on the transaction summary, which is the calculate summary. And if you actually look at the calculate summary, it will also say, hey, when I don't have something, throw an invalid exception, right? So here I'm essentially trying to verify that the code actually does throw an invalid operation exception, right? So the way I would do that is I'll say assert.throwsException, write out whatever is the exception name, and then call the test under code or call the code that you're interested in with a lambda syntax. And once you do that, your test will pass if your code throws the exception, and it should throw the same exception. So let me run this test. So you'll see that the tests have passed. If I did change this to be, say, a null reference exception, and now I ran this test, you'd see that this test will fail. It will also say, hey, expected invalid operation exception, but I got a null reference exception, right? So this is one very simple way how MS test makes your life easier by allowing you to assert on the exceptions. And the next common scenario that you will encounter as a developer is I want to write my test case once, but run it multiple times for different types of input, for different boundary conditions, for different inputs, right? So this is typically called as data driving in the unit test world, and MS test had allowed you to data drive using external data sources. So you could have a CSV, you could have an Excel, so you had all these external data sources to allow you to data drive your tests. And one of the common asks was to make sure that the data that I want to test with resides along with my test code. So we have added an attribute called data row attribute, which will allow you to specify the input parameters that you want to test with along with the test that you're writing, right? So the signature of your test would now change to take in all the parameters that you would send. It's much simpler than the working with CSV kind of things. So here I am writing a test to verify whether some of the transaction parameters I have will lead to a valid transaction or an invalid transaction. So I have two conditions here. The first condition is where the date is greater than today. The second condition is where the transaction value is negative, right? I can also use this display name attribute to tag this particular data row with a particular name so that whenever that fails going forward, I know what that particular test was supposed to do and why it has failed, right? So I write out my test the way I would write anything else. So I will say a new transaction and create a new transaction object. I'll also say validate transaction, and I'll assert that it's false, right? So for both of these conditions, I assume I'm trying to test that the transaction is indeed an invalid transaction. So I'll say run. So you'll see that the test was actually run two times, once for each of the input row that I specified, and both of them passed, right? That's one thing that I wanted to show, right? The last thing that I had on mind for the MS test framework itself is that the extensibility part of MS test, right? So we have come to realize that any unit test framework cannot have all the features that you would ever need built inside the framework itself. So for a lot of such scenarios, you want to extend on top of the unit test framework and do imaginative, creative things with the unit test framework itself, right? So far, we have not been allowed to extend MS test and write custom implementations on top of it. You are now able to do that using by extending the MS test framework itself. To illustrate this point, I have borrowed an example from the NUnit world. It's called as the range test, right? So what they essentially do is it's an advanced kind of a data driving. Instead of specifying what are the exact rows of data, you specify a start range and an end range, and it generates all the values of data in between using permutations and combinations for all of the values possible. So I'll not go into the details. I'll just quickly show how you can do that. So the first thing, of course, is you can extend the test method attribute and give your own implementation. All you would have to do is write out your own execute logic, and in that execute logic, you can do a lot of things like, I want to run tests on a UI thread, I want to run tests multiple times, I want to do advanced data driving. So you can think about scenarios where this will be useful, right? So, and once I'm done with that, I'll also extend the range attribute to specify a from and a to. So this again extends from the attribute. I'll not go into the details of how this is done and how we calculate all the permutations. I'll just show you an example where we're using this. So here I have the same invalid transaction, but instead of using one row of data, I'm providing a set of data. I'm telling, hey, the range is now 1 to 31. So go do it for 1, 2, 3, 4, so on, right? So I'll go ahead and run this test. You'll see that it passes for a bunch of things and fails for a lot of other things. So you'll see that it failed for some things, for things later in the month, and you'll see that it passed for some of the other things, right? So that's about extensibility of MS test. So far we have seen how to run tests in Visual Studio IDE, how IDE provides you a good experience to filter out your tests, run your tests, and everything else. One of the other common scenarios is also that I want to run my tests outside of IDE. I want to run my tests using a command line utility. You could have done that for any of the DLLs or any of the normal applications. You can do that for the Windows Phone application also using the same utility we have called as the VS Test Console, right? So the VS Test Console will typically take an argument called what is my test container, right? Is it a DLL? Is it? So the same argument will now just need to pass the place the entire unit test package. To create a unit test package, you can just right click on your unit test project and create a package out of it. Of course, I don't want to publish it to the App Store. And once I'm done with that, I can use the entire path of the package as a parameter to the VS Test Console, right? So this file is called run test. So I'll just go ahead and execute that. So you'll see that by default, the test ran on the emulator, right? What if you actually wanted to run the tests on a device? So you can use a setting we have called as the run settings file. So the run settings file allow you to specify where you actually want to run your test. It's a simple XML entry where you say, for MS Phone test, the target is this particular thing, right? So here I have emulator 8.1 as a target. You could easily go ahead and say the target is device, and would have executed all your tests on the device that is connected to your machine. I didn't carry a device and I can't show this demo, but trust me, it works when you run on device, right? One other common thing that you want to run, would do when you're running tests, is to collect some information, collect as to what test passed, what test failed, and so on, right? So to that end, you can use some of our logging capabilities. So we have something called as a TRX logger. You can just go ahead and enable that when you're running tests, and you'll see that for any of the tests that I've executed, There will be a TRX file that is available in the test results folder. You can go ahead and open that TRX file in Visual Studio, and you get to see the entire test results, which tests have passed, which tests have failed, how much time has it taken, if there are any log messages that goes here, so on, right? And if you wanted to publish this, publish the entire test results against a TFS build, you can use one more utility called as the TFS publisher. I'm not going to show that here, just in the interest of time. But it's just one more entry that you would say, where you would specify parameters like what are my collection, which build am I publishing against, and so on, right? So that's about authoring your unit tests in Visual Studio and running them. To quickly recap, you can author your tests in C# or C++. You have the familiar MS Test framework constructs to write out your tests. Your tests run in the same context as app to make sure there are no bugs. You can also define capabilities for the unit test app, just like the way you define capabilities for your any other normal app, right? So I also have some code samples for you to refresh your syntax if you want. Let me skip through all these things. Okay, so far we have seen how to write developer tests, right? So unit tests is what you will use when you're developing your app, when you want to follow TDD kind of a thing. Another important part of the story is also how do I ensure my end-to-end scenarios are working fine, right? How do I ensure my end-to-end app is working very well? So to that end, you can use the coded UI test framework to write UI tests for verifying user scenarios in Windows Phone 8.1 apps, right? So again, to get started, you'll need a Visual phone development environment and Visual Studio 2013 update 2 or newer. Unlike unit test, coded UI test is only present in the premium and ultimate editions of Visual Studio. And to author the UI automation itself, we do require you to have some amount of C# or VB.NET skills. You can pick one of them, but you need to have one of them to make sure you author your tests in that language, right? So anybody who have used coded UI before? Okay. So you'll know that coded UI tests has worked for a lot of UI technologies, for example, WPF, WinForms, Web, back in 2013, the Windows Store, so on, right? So with Update 2, you can also use the same coded UI test to author end-to-end automation tests for Windows Phone 8.1 apps. We'll see how you can get started with that using a new project template shortly. And the way coded UI test works, so there are two important elements in any UI automation framework. The first part is, what am I acting on? The second part is, how am I acting on? So what am I acting on is what are the elements in the UI? How do I recognize the elements in the UI? How do I search for the elements in the UI tree, right? So when you're talking about Windows Phone 8.1 apps, that's the XAML controls, right? So coded UI test framework provides you a set of specialized classes to help you recognize and work with such XAML controls. And the XAML controls, that the specialized classes that we have here, is essentially the same as the specialized controls we have for the Windows Store itself. So with the Windows and Windows Phone now converging to a single model, the specialized classes for all of the XAMLs is again the same, right? So all of these classes would start with a XAML, so you'd see things like XAML text, XAML button, XAML list, and so on, right? And the next thing is the support for shell controls. So whenever you're writing your automation for your end-to-end scenarios, you will need to use some form of native controls provided by the OS, right? For example, when I clicked on the delete, you saw that there was an confirmation dialog that was shown. That is all not coming from the XAML, but that is essentially the shell controls that is coming natively from the OS, right? So for your end-to-end scenarios, you not only need to interact with the XAML controls, you also need to interact with the shell controls, and to that end, the UI test framework has a UI test control class to help you with that, right? So this is a bit different from the direct UI class that you have on the Windows Store to interact with the UI charms, right? And of course, you would interact with your app using touch gestures. So the gesture class that the UI framework has contains a lot of rich events like tap, swipe, double tap, pinch, and so on to allow you to simulate any of the events or any of the touch gestures into your app. So let's quickly go ahead and take a look at that. So again, the way to get started with the unit, the UI test, is to go and create a new project and select the coded UI test project instead of the unit test project. So for coded UI test, as I already mentioned, we allow you to write your tests in C# and VB. And you also see that we have the coded UI test templates for both Windows and Windows Phone, and also the normal classic applications like WinForms and so on, right? So let me go ahead and select the Windows Phone template for C#, and I'll click on OK. So at this point of time, you'll be shown a UI with two options. The first option is more of an assisted option. The second option is an expert option, right? So the first option is what allows you to build a UI map, right? So what is a UI map? A UI map is essentially a repository of all the controls, of all the elements that you would need to have to interact with your applications. For example, in my automation test, I want to click on a button. That button goes into the UI map. In my end-to-end automation, I want to fetch a value from a text box and set a value or assert on that value. So that again goes into the UI map. So all of the elements that you interact with while writing your UI test is what goes into your UI map, right? So so the first option essentially allows you to use a builder to generate some code for the UI map. The second option is where you hand code most of those things, right? And for generating that UI map, you'll see how we'll leverage some of the specialized classes that we spoke about so far, the XAML controls and the shell controls to recognize, search, and use that to drive your end-to-end automation, right? Let me go ahead and select the first one. So if you notice, a couple of things have happened. The Visual Studio IDE is minimized. There's this small utility on the right called as the Coded UI Test Builder. And also, it is now connected to the emulator. It says it has recognized the emulator that is running on my desktop, and it's connected to that. It says using emulator 8.1 VGA, WVGA, right? So if you notice this small bullseye icon, we call that as the crosshair tool. You can use that to spy on your UI in the emulator and build the UI map you will need for writing your end-to-end automation, right? So here's how you do it. Let me go back to the app. So you will click on the crosshair tool, you'll drag and drop it on any control inside your emulator, right? Also notice it shows me yellow rectangles, a highlight sort of a thing, to help me find out if it is the right control that I'm selecting, right? Once it recognizes a control, it will open up a property of all the properties that is set on top of that control for me to work with, right? Of this, the two properties that are important are the automation ID and the name. Right? So when I spoke about accessibility of the app and everything else, so these are the two properties that the coded UI engine will use to search for your controls and determine your controls from a tree of controls, right? Again, automation ID and name are two important controls for us to find your UI elements, right? If you expand, you'll also see the entire UI hierarchy, the entire tree where that particular control was found. I can go ahead and click on this add button here. So this icon essentially adds the element to the UI map. Let me go ahead and open up the app. Instead of dragging and dropping, you can also use some keyboard shortcuts we have built. The keyboard shortcut to recognize a control or to spy on a control is simply hover on the control that you are interested in and press Control I, right? So that will bring up the UI, that will bring up the properties view. You can go ahead and add, or to add, you can again directly press Control Shift I. So you'll see that the entire tree has been added, right? And so now that we know about the UI map, let's try and build a UI map for automating the add transaction, right? So let's write an end-to-end automation for adding a transaction, right? So what would I need? First, I would need to launch the app, then I'd need to click on this button and probably click on the add button. So I'll go and press a Control Shift I on that, and I would click on this, I would do a tap on this. So you can, using the coded UIs builder, you can easily build out the UI map that is necessary for you to write out the entire automation, right? So it's easy to build the entire UI map using the coded UI test builder. Once you are done with all these things, you can click generate. And now we are back in Visual Studio. So I'll close the builder. So I'll actually pick one of the maps that I already have. So if you see, there's a UI map that I have. When I expand this UI map, you'll see that it is backed by a couple of C# files, and let me close this out. And the C# files is all automatically generated by the coded UI builder, and this is what uses all of these specialized controls that have specialized classes that I was talking about. For example, the XAML window, the item window, the shell controls that we spoke about. For example, the S button. So you'll see that it doesn't extend from the XAML like other things. It uses its own UI test control class, right? So this UI map will allow you to abstract away all those things and build a UI map consisting of all sort of controls, right? So let's say you want to go back and re-edit some of the things. You can simply right-click and say edit with coded UI test builder, and you're back here, right? So let me spy on a control that opens up the UI map. So you can also click on this refresh to find some of the controls. Right, so I'll say main page hub. So you'll see that it found this control and drew a yellow highlight for me to understand that, right? And we also have some utilities for you to go to a parent element or a child element, next sibling, previous sibling, so on. You can also rename some of your elements for better readability of your UI map, right? So now that we have the UI map, let's try and automate the add transaction operation. Right? So to automate a transaction, what would I need? First, I would need to open up the app and then tap on the add button, go to each of these controls, set appropriate values, tap on the save button, and that should bring me back to this particular page, right? So, and to ensure that I've actually added the transaction, I'll also record the values. So, the values in the month that I'm going to add and make sure that is reflected after I've added the transaction, right? So let's go ahead and take a look how the UI test looks like that. Okay. So here I am. So first of all, I'm going to add a transaction with following details. I'm going to add it to the month of May. And I'm going to add it in a category called commute. The first thing I would need to do is launch the app, right? To launch the app, there are two ways for me to do it. The first way to do it would of course be to the start screen and click on or tap on the tile, right? A much easier way is to actually use one of the APIs we have called XAML.launch, and that XAML.launch takes a variable or takes a parameter called as the app identifier, and that app identifier is the automation ID that is set on top of your tile, right? So when we actually spied on controls, we found out a bunch of parameters or bunch of properties on each of them. So automation ID on top of the tile is what would be the app identifier for your app, right? So for example, if I open up my UI map, sorry, give me a minute. So it has found this particular thing. If I actually do spy on this, you'll see that there's a property called automation ID, and that's what I'm using to launch my app, right? Let me get back to this. So the app identifier is same for all the tests that I want to write. So I've gone ahead and hardcoded it as one of the members. Now I have launched the app. The next step for me would be to go ahead and get the state for the month of May. So for that, I would why would I need to get the state? To assert that I've actually added the transaction successfully, right? I go ahead and find out where that particular element is in the UI map. So to again to do this, I can open up the UI map and copy the reference. So here's how I do it. So I want the month of May, so I can right click and I can say copy reference to clipboard. And I can come back here and this is what I have. I can paste this here to say, hey, this is the element that I'm trying to locate it, right? So you have the element that you want to locate. Now you can do operations on top of this. So for example, we allow you to do operation called as draw highlight. Draw highlight is what you would use in some of your debugging scenarios to make sure you're finding the controls correctly and so on, right? So in here, if I have set show light to true, show highlight to true, I actually draw a highlight, and before that I go and get the display text on top of that, and once I get the display text, I'll strip away all that dollar and formatting and all those things, and I get the integer value of whatever that initial balance is, right? And the next step would be for me to navigate to the record transaction page. For that I would do a gesture.tap. I again do a gesture.tap on the new button, right? So with that, I'm in the record transaction page. On the record transaction page, I go to each of the elements and set some values. The way I do that would depend on the control that I'm using. So for example, for entering a date control, I would go ahead and set some indices. For editing a text control, I would just set the text. For buttons, I would set it to a true or false. So on. So once I'm done with setting all these controls, I want to save the particular transaction. So I'll do a gesture.tap on the save button. So that's again here. I do a gesture.tap on the save button. And once I'm done with that, I'll be back in the page where I navigated away from. I can again search for the month of May. get the balance text, strip away to find the new balance, and that should have been updated to whatever is the new value, right? So as part of my assert, I do make sure that my initial balance minus whatever is the new expense that I've added is equal to the new balance, right? And once I'm done with everything, I'll go ahead and close my app, right? Let's go ahead and run this test. Before that, let me close this. You'll see that it was launched. It's getting the state for me. Now it will do a tap on the new button. It will go and set each of the values. So you'll notice that the tests have passed. To help me keep track of what are the things happening with the text, I also have some log messages that I can see here to make sure all of the tests are working correctly. I can also go back to my app and check if the new transaction has been added, and it has been the new transaction, right? So this is how you write an end-to-end automation for automating your scenarios for Windows Phone 8.1 apps. Let's take a look at one other demo. The next demo that I wanted to show is actually a delete transaction test, right? And to delete a transaction, again, you would first you would launch the app. You first launch the app, and you'll pick a particular month. Let's say I pick Jan, and then you pick a particular transaction. You do a tap and hold, press a delete, press on yes, right? So that will delete your transaction. So the reason I chose this particular demo is I wanted to highlight two things. One, in the previous sample, we were all working with XAML controls. In this, we also need to work with a shell control, the S button, which is a shell control. And also, sometimes whenever you want to interact with the UI elements might not be in view. For example, the $10 that I deleted here was all the way at the bottom of the scroll list, right? So as an automation writer, you don't need to worry about all these things. You just need to tell us which is the element that you are taking an action against. The coded UI test will automatically scroll that into view and then take the appropriate gesture action on top of that, right? So let's take a look at... So again, I first launched the app. I'm doing this on a February, so I go ahead and get the initial state of February, and I do a press and hold. Until now, I was doing a gesture.tap. I'll do a gesture.press and hold on top of the transaction being deleted. Once I do that, a menu comes up, and then I'll do a gesture.tap on the delete menu item, right? So also notice here that I'm not adding any sleeps or any artificial wait state for my test to wait for the UI to be ready. The coded UI test automatically takes care of making sure that the next action happens after the UI is ready, right? So once I've clicked the delete menu item, again, the shell control, the confirmation dialog shows up. I again do a gesture.tap on the S button. So, as I mentioned earlier, the actions that you take is similar irrespective of shell controls or XAML controls. Again, after the delete operation is complete, I'll come back to that particular page, get some of the values, clean it out, and get the numeric value for that, and assert that indeed the transaction has been deleted, right? So, let me go ahead and run this test. I need to close my app, run again. So in this test, I didn't have a draw highlight. So you actually see how fast the test is. Draw highlights slows your test a little bit because it adds some pauses for you to recognize that particular control. The test has completed, and now that particular transaction has been deleted. So in the month of February, I no longer have the 8th February $10 transaction, right? So that's one example, right? The next one I wanted to show is a different type of a gesture, right? So when you're writing your end-to-end automation test, most of the times you would be using gesture events like gesture tab, gesture pinch, and so on. But for some scenarios, mostly scenarios around navigation, for letting people navigate within your app, you'd need to use some of the hardware buttons like a back press or something like that. So to help you with that, the CodeUI test provides device.hardware button API to help you simulate such events. So in this particular example, what I'm going to do is again launch the app. I'll tap on any particular item. I'll navigate back to a list. I'll tap on this one. I'll navigate to a different page. I'll now do a hardware button back press. I'll come back to this page. And when I again do a hardware button back press, I'll come back to this page, right? So the test that we are doing is essentially verifying this particular scenario. And as you saw, to do this, I want to simulate the device hardware button back press. So let's go take a look at how to do that. So I'll close this. So first, of course, is that I launch the app. Next, to make sure I'm in a particular page, the way I'll do that is go and make sure I can navigate to one of the controls in that page. So I launch the app and I check balance on the summary page of Feb. So to do that, I draw a highlight on that particular page and I get the display text. And once you are done with that, I'll do a tap on the same menu item. That will take me to the second page. On that second page, I'll again make sure I get the balance or any particular element on that particular page to make sure I'm in that particular page. Once I'm done with that, I'll do a gesture.tap to the new button. So now I'm in the record transaction page. So to come back to the previous page, I'll do a device.hardware button of back, right? So I've used the device.hardware button to simulate a back button press, right? So when I do this, I want to make sure that I'm now in the previous page, which is the details page. So again, I go ahead and assert I can find one such control. I again do a device.hardware button press. I'm now going to assert that I'm in the summary page, right? So let's go ahead and run this test. And my test passed, right? So this was an example trying to show how you use the device hardware button. The last thing that I wanted to show is we already discussed about data driving. I also wanted to show how we can use this data driving in some of your scenarios in an interesting way, right? In this particular test, what I'm trying to make sure is open up each of the things in this particular control and make sure that the balance shown here matches to the balance shown here, right? The complexity here is that I don't know which particular control, or I am not hard coding the particular control the time I am writing the test, although I've added it to the UI map. I go and iterate on this for all the list of controls, right? So the way I would do that is first I would launch the app of the same way. The next thing is that I want to search for a particular item, right? So in the summary page, I want to go ahead and search for a particular item. And to search, as I said, there are multiple properties you can depend on, and the two properties that will help you there is the name property and the automation ID. If I actually do spy on the control, let me open the builder. So if you actually spy on the control, you'll see that the name that I'm using is in the form of May 14 or April 14 or March 14, so on, right? So I'll close this particular thing. Okay. So what I'm trying to do here is to make sure I find that particular control using the search properties, right? And to the search properties, I say I want to find a control by the name, and I specify the particular name. And to specify that particular name, I data drive that name using the data I can specify here. For example, I am doing this for the month of March using 2014-03. So what this get list item name will do is essentially return me a string value of that, right? It will say March 14, right? So that is what this block of the code is doing. It's trying to find a UI element by using a search properties called name, right? So once I obtain an element, I go ahead and find out the balance of that and strip out everything else and make sure I just have the main page balance. Once I have that, I'll tap on that particular thing and navigate to the second page. And on the second page, I again need to find the display balance. So to find the display balance again, let me open up the builder again. So you'll see that the display balance has automation ID set to display balance. So you can use this as your automation property for searching your properties. So I again say search properties and automation ID of display balance, and you'll get back that property. And I get the display text on top of that. I strip away everything else and just get the numerical value of that, and I assert that they are equal, right? And I can do this not just for 1 or 2 months. I can do this for all the months by data driving this multiple times. So in this one, I have it for the month of March and January. Let's go ahead and run this test and see how it goes. Oops, sorry. I should first close the app. And you see that the tests have passed for both the iterations for the month of January and the month of March, right? So to summarize, you've seen how you can write end-to-end UI automation tests for Windows Phone 8.1 apps. We provide you a bunch of utilities like specialized classes around shell controls and XAML controls. We provide you with a builder utility to generate your UI map. It's also easy to hand code your tests, to write out the test once you have the UI map, and build out the end-to-end automation scenarios that you are interested in, right? One last thing that I wanted to briefly talk about is setting accessibility properties for your XAML UI, right? So to help me explain that, I've built up a very simple XAML page with a list of dummy controls. So as you can see here, none of these have any of the automation properties set. In an ideal world, this should have some amount of automation property set for me to help drive my coded UI automation tests. And the way you can do that is you can say view. You can open the same project in Blend. And in Blend, there's an option called name interactive elements, right? So notice how some of these XAML elements change after I select that particular option, right? So now, what this essentially does is goes and iterate on all of these XAML controls and gives them all a unique name, right? So you can, of course, provide a more descriptive name. For example, the text, the value button could have read amount value or something like that. And these are actually the properties that will be read out by some of the screen readers in terms of accessibility, right? So, but there's just one small simple way in which you can at least ensure your app is built with accessibility in mind, right? So that's mostly about what I had. Let's quickly jump to slides. Again, I have a set of slides for you to refresh any of the syntax. Okay, so to recap, we saw how the developer experience for automating your tests is very similar between various pieces, and how you can write unit tests and UI tests, and how you can run your tests either on a emulator or on a phone device. I wasn't actually able to show the phone device part of it, but yeah, it works, right? So that's mostly what I had in mind. We have about 8 minutes left for any questions.